Kazan and Karim, why don't you come up here, would you please? These are the Vandenbergs. We've known these people for a long time. They've worked with us here in the States. They've worked with us in Estonia. They actually were in Latvia for a little while, too, while they were in Estonia. And they're preparing to go to Costa Rica for their son's wedding. And then they and a team, their whole family and some others, are, when we can get there, going to Latvia to plant vineyard churches. Amen. Yeah, amen. This is a really good thing, really good thing. God bless the Pentecostals in Latvia. They have issued an invitation for them to come formally so they could be received there by a recognized religious institution in Latvia. And same way in Estonia, you have to have a certain number of churches to actually be recognized. So we're part of the Pentecostal Union there, but we plant vineyard churches as a partnership with them. Isn't that cool? And because it worked there, it's now going to work in Latvia. It's very cool. But these are those certificates, and they need to be certified. So I took them to the bank and got them notarized. So we are official. And so I'm going to take these and hold on to them, guys. But you need to know that they are going, being sent by us. And their whole family. So I'm going to pray for them, and you guys do whatever you do, okay? Take your liberty. Lord, thank you for this whole family. Lord, thank you for, gosh, what has it been? I don't know, 2010 or something like that, probably. 2009, see, somebody knows. And Lord, all of the things and the places and the difficulties and the triumphs. And I just want to say, Lord, this is time for the years that the cankerworm and the palmer worm and the locust have eaten to be restored to fullness. And I'm asking, Lord, for that, an anointing like that. And today we push ahead, regardless of what's going on. We push ahead and say, Father, you've got the timetable. You know exactly what's supposed to work and when. And we just release them like a bow from an arrow, knowing the target that you've given us. And Father, we ask that at exactly the right moment, in exactly the right place, with exactly the right amount of resources, we'll be able to stand and celebrate and say, here we are in Latvia doing what we've been called to do. I release this to you, Father, and release them to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
I'm just going to let Larine say a little introduction for those who don't know us.
Okay, so me, my husband Kuzan, I'm Clarine, and so we have three children. That's basically the baby is born in missions. The first day we went into missions, she was born. So Kuzan was asking God, is that a sign to say no, we shouldn't go? But I was actually assigned to say go. And so we have to learn to trust God in many things. So if we've been in missions 21 years. We've lived in six nations. We work with seven nations. Sorry, you just mentioned this now. So we lived in seven nations. We work with other nations around us. We work with different organizations and also churches. But we also see this as our home church, because God called us to partnership with this church. So, yes, so we're part of you all, and we're so happy to be here today. We also consist out of a team of 8 members, which is young people as well, as we are called to work a lot with young people. And do you know that young people needs Jesus in Europe at this moment? They need our support, and they need your support to be behind them. We need these generations to come through, and that they can feel and see the glory of God, and that God will want to bring restoration to the church in Europe. We thank you for your blessings and support, and I'm going to give over to my husband. He's going to say something more. Thank you.
You usually finish at 10:15, so there's 15 minutes, so I can finish in 15, or if you give me permission, I can go a little over. Okay. So I warned the church in 2009, if you, a missionary is like a stray dog, you feed him and give him a place to sleep and he stays. And this is our home church. We've been never disconnected. God have when I Googled churches, there was 80 within a five mile radius. And I said, God, there's no way I have time to visit all these churches. You have to show me. So someone invited us to the pastor's meeting. And there was a Russian-speaking pastor that was connected to Pastor John. And I went to speak to him in Russian. He introduced me to Pastor John. And then I had a dream about Pastor John. And this is how we got to the church. We prayed. And so God have divinely brought us here. It's not just we like the church. He divinely brought us here. We didn't even see the church before we came. We are originally from South Africa. We were not well known for our diplomacy and being political correct, but God have given me some wisdom over the years. And I'm evangelist. My wife is prophetic. I won't go to any war without her. We have many times put all of our resources and all of our name and everything on the guidance that through our family and through our prophetic ministry, we had to do it many times, and we have never been ashamed. So I trust if she say nay, I know it's going to be pain if I say yay. And so we are a team. Our kids have been a team they are all missionaries, all three of them. We have a daughter-in-law coming from Costa Rica. She's a missionary. And if God call all my grandkids to be missionaries, I'll be 100% okay with that. There's enough lawyers and professors and all kind of people. And today I just want to share about the gospel message. And moving around and visiting many churches, many times we don't recognize the gospel anymore. And one of the big things that I've seen is that the gospel message is free, but it's not pain-free. When you choose to follow Jesus, it's not easy. It's not going to come easy. And so it's all about surrender. If you want to have peace, if you want to have joy, it comes through surrender. You can't read a book on joy and have joy. You actually have to start by inviting the Lord Jesus Christ into your life. And the Holy Spirit that lives inside of you is the one that transformed you. And a lady in Cincinnati asked me, how do I know I'm born again? I said, are you the same person that you were a year ago? And she said, absolutely not. I said, that when you had an encounter with the living God, it's impossible to stay the same. It's impossible to commit the same sin over and over and over again without repentance and just think God will be okay with it. And so when you have a problem, God doesn't reject you. He wants you to heal. The gospel is good news. He comes to set you free. And the first thing that God told me, there was a great lesson. I got saved on a Sunday. My wife preached the gospel to me when I was drunk. And this lady had something else that I liked. So God sent some bait. I took the bait, and she's been discipling me. And so God is, He wants us to be healed. Now, I'm a veteran. I had PTSD. I had lived a violent life. I was alcoholic from young age. I grew up in foster care. I had plenty of all the problems. I worked on a gold mine. It's a roughneck job. I'm not an educated person. I was just someone lost. And so after I got saved, I got really angry at my workers at the work on Monday. And I was still not polished, so I cursed a little bit. And God told me, you will never be free if you hate any person. If you don't like any person, you will never be free. You will be a slave for the rest of your life. And I realized that the gospel message is that hunger to be free. You know, the world, what they see freedom, is not really freedom. They have all these checks and balances, all these securities, and they want to know what's going to happen. What's going to happen tomorrow? But you have no guarantee if you don't have God. You have no hope. If you really are close to God, then death for you is not the issue. You will just go be with Jesus. What greater place to be? We want to live long. We want to be with our families. We want to see our grandchildren. But this is not our final destination. And so Jesus said in Matthew 10, 38, 39, and if anyone does not take up his cross and follow me, he's not worthy of me. Whosoever finds his life will lose it, and whosoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Every scripture where God say he will do this usually comes with a scripture before that we don't read. It says, resist, if you submit to God, you resist the devil, he will flee. We just go to resist the devil. Yeah. But we forget about surrendering to God. Where you are giving up your rights. When you accept Jesus Christ into your life, that's the beginning of surrender. Because I cannot help myself. I cannot save myself. I cannot do anything about internal life. I'm lost in this. But I come now, I surrender before you my sin. I give you everything. And Jesus sees everything. And so you can't live a fake life and call yourself Christian and say the living God lives inside of you. The standard of the church have become so low because we look at the guy next to us and think, I'm better than him. But you have to look at Jesus. And when you ever come to the point you think you're better than him, you are on dangerous ground. You need to go down to your knees again. But you will continue to grow until the day you go to heaven. Because Jesus is perfect in every way. And the more that you surrender, the more it humbles you to know that you are nothing. If it wasn't for Jesus, nothing that you have accomplished would have been there. And that's the place where you find peace, where you find joy, where you find when this things are killing us all the time happen, that people are run around in fear. And if you believe that your days are in the hands of the living God, nothing can kill you. In South Africa, people may not know this, there was 20,000 more people killed in the last 10 years in South Africa than in the Afghanistan war in 10 years. We have 20,000 more murders. And so I was driving one day when we were still living in South Africa, and it was riots. It was the end of apartheid. People were stacking ammunition and food like crazy. And my friends say, you have to drive through this very dangerous area. Take my 9mm pistol. I'm like, what should I do? He said, just take it. And I put it in my jacket pocket. I was driving, and God spoke to me, Holy Spirit, he say, who do you think can protect you better? 9mm or me? Yeah. I'm like, your head went down. And God said, even if they shoot you 200 times, and I have not drawn the line, you will survive that, and you will come back. And so that fear has no hold on us. And the gospel is that good message. But the watered-down gospel is not a good message at all, because it says, come to church, drop a few bucks every now and then, and live just like the rest of the world. No one is hungry for that kind of life. People are hungry for the real thing. People are hungry for being like the people in the Bible. When the shadow falls on people, they get healed. If we want to get there, we need to live close to God. And when you surrender to Jesus, He will ask obedience. And it's not easy to obey. He may ask something you don't like. One thing we don't need to worry about is that God will call us as missionaries to Africa. We are from Africa. It's not that bad. And so having a fear that what God may do may keep you away from being close to God. Because if you obey, Jesus, I read the scripture in John where Jesus said, "My Father is well pleased in me because I completed the task He has sent me to do." And so if you want to live in prosperity, complete the task that Jesus has called you to do. If it's here, if it's in the mission field, your community, everywhere, everyone is called. But it's your choice to accept that call. And then, like Jesus was asked to die on the cross, sometimes God asks us really hard things. Things that are so hard that you want to ask God, "Can this cup go past me, please?" But if you hold on to God, you have the strength to say, "Not my will, but your will, Lord." And this is the gospel. This is the pain I'm talking about, going through difficult times because you chose to put your life in God's hands. And every difficult time He put you through, if you look back, you realize how much you have grown, how much you have overcome, how far you have come. It's maybe in the storm, it's like whitewater rafting. When you're going down that river, there's no time for sightseeing. You're just trying to stay alive. But when you hit that plane and the waters calms down and you start to look around, you can enjoy nature and everything around you. And many times spiritual growth is like that. You go in this time where things happen that just you feel you have lost control. But if you hold on to God, you will persevere. And with perseverance come character. With character, there comes a solid person that followed Jesus, that word is as good as a contract. We need that kind of people in the world. When they say yes, it's yes. But in our own nature, we cannot be that person. We have to surrender. And as a church, I think Pastor John said 2 weeks ago that there is no growth in the American church. The numbers are not growing. Certain churches grow because there's a migration. They have a better lights on the stage or a younger worship leader or some crazy things people do. In our area, there's a big mega church that fly their worship leaders in from Nashville every Sunday. And where's the fellowship? Where's the connections? Where do we grow together? It's not a show. It's a body that we belong to each other. Right. And we serve each other. And so, but if we want to be effective in evangelism, reaching out, it's not a very popular topic in the church. Evangelism, when you talk about evangelism, people get stiff and they change the topic because it means actually going out. But evangelism starts with, you cannot give what you don't have. You cannot help people be free if you're not free. And that doesn't mean use that as an excuse that one day when I'm free, you have to do it. While God is working in your life, you can walk with someone else. And see yourself as a fisher, fisher of men. And whatever you do, the bait doesn't matter. As long as they find Jesus. Jesus is the only person that can transform people's lives. And if you want to, you have to have a desire. If you know what it is to be, how it was to be lost, if you know what it is to be down and out, if you know what it is to be rich and still not be happy, and now you found joy, you can help other people on your level, everyone on his level. God doesn't discriminate between skin color, or income. That's politicians and the media's work. God sees saved, unsaved, my lost sheep, my sheep. You're either a lost sheep or you're a sheep. And that is how he looks. And we have to have, if you say you love God, somewhere he has to tell you, I'm worried about my lost sheep. And so if we as a church have lost that desire to bring people, to go out and get them and walk with them and reach out to them, I don't know if we're close to God, because God sends, he goes after the one and leaves the 99 behind. That's God's heart. The fact that we're planting churches in Latvia, in Estonia and in Lithuania, is because those populations are like 2% Christian. They have no hope. Their only hope is in their own education and what the state can give them. Man, that's terrible. People that take your taxes, you trust them to, they put the country in debt, you trust them to run your business. People need hope. And hope, Jesus, the gospel message of Jesus Christ, it's like Reinhard Bonnke said, it's good news, it's not mad news. And the gospel message is the center of the church. I want to encourage you that become part of this message. You are a body. We all need each other. We need people to pray. We need people to give. We need people to go. And that's the three ways how you can get involved. Pray every opportunity you have. If you're blessed, give. If you're not blessed, give. Usually the least blessed people are the biggest givers. Your giving goes with your heart. I spend all my money in the kingdom and on my wife. That's where my heart is. And so we have to learn. I want to read this scripture. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved is the power of God. Right. And Jesus said that this gospel have to be preached to all nations. Then the end will come. So Jesus is waiting on the church to preach the gospel to all nations, to go to all places, and where the gospel can penetrate and change people's lives, that everyone have the opportunity to hear. And so, will Jesus find us busy guarding his house, looking after his people, or will he find us asleep? And I don't have a big end-time theology. My end-time theology is very simple. You're going to meet Jesus. Living or dead, you're going to meet him. Because everyone in his lifetime is going to face Jesus. And if he comes which way ever on the clouds, if we meet him or we go through persecution, it doesn't matter. as long as he found us busy preaching the gospel, we'll be ready. As long as he find us reaching out to the sick, the broken, the poor, those in need, he will find us busy. And it will be a glorious day. And I want to encourage you as a church, we are the last stand in America. Society has fallen. The media has fallen. Politicians have fallen. They kill a newborn baby that's just 2 days before it should have been born. It's okay to kill. You have to be a monster to do that. I find that I'm a hunter. I know how to kill things, not people, things. I raise my own chickens and I kill them. But I take no pleasure in doing that. It's a necessity that I have to do, and I don't enjoy it. So I can't imagine that someone will spend millions and billions of dollars to give people the right to kill babies at that age, at any age. And how can we say we're Christian? Some of them say, I'm Catholic. How can they say that? God will never okay something like that. We have to read the Word and let the Word speak to us. And we shouldn't apologize for the truth. The truth set us free. We are not here. Probably this kind of speech will put me in the Nazi and homophobe and in all kinds of phobies and stuff and fofos. It put us in that category, and people will call you racist and without any evidence, because you hold on to the biblical values. And it's not easy, because some of them are not easy to hold. And the gospel is offensive because it is the only way. And I'm not going to gamble anyone's life or my own life on a fake gospel that say, just come to church and you'll be okay. I want Jesus' own words, unless you're born again, you cannot even see the kingdom of God. And this is our message. That's the gospel message. I want to encourage you that if we are the last stand in this society, Europe is past this. They talk about post-Christian. Many states in America are going post-Christian. And we are the last stand. Not every one of us sitting here. It's our responsibility to give hope to our community. And I want to just encourage you with this, that preach the gospel, be ready in season, out of season. And if you live close to God, read your Bible, pray. There's enough Christian material in America to keep you entertained for the rest of your life and 10 more lives. The Bible is the main word that inspires faith, that grows faith. The other books are good. Good entertainment and can encourage us, but it has no transforming power like the Bible. And so reading the Bible is one of the most important things you can do as a Christian. Because when someone speaks, you will immediately know it's according to Scripture. And then that is important to know. Everyone will stand for himself. And so I want to encourage you, let's fill this church. As we fill this church, we're going to send out more missionaries. We're going to have more outreach. And we're going to be a healthy body that loves Jesus and loves people. And that is the command Jesus has given us. It's not rocket science. You don't need to be a professor. I've never been in the mission field or out in the street evangelizing and someone come to me, hello, I'm Professor John so-and-so, I have a master's and doctor's degree in theology, and I'm here to preach the gospel. Now, education doesn't bring you closer to God. You must have intentional desire from inside that drives you to not be that person. Amen. Pastor John.
What he didn't say, there's a lot of things he didn't say, but this is about the hardest working guy I think I've ever worked with. They, when it says, you know, you put your hand to the plow, he's the plow horse. I'm not kidding. They absolutely will not give up. Circumstances they were in Estonia were absolutely abhorrent. I mean, it was just really, really difficult. And what they did was just work harder. Yeah, I mean, it's amazing. I've never, ever worried about anything. Any investment we would put in these guys was really well worth it. And I don't remember exactly what it was. Been in Estonia about a year, and they've been on the mission field. You go to in Estonia, I mean, less than, it's like 1% of the people are saved. Been there a year, and he called me, and if I'm not mistaken, he led one person to the Lord that year. Maybe it was one or two, and he said, "This is very hard." And I thought, that's like saying, you talk about an understatement, this is very hard. He's used to seeing more than that happen. So thank God for the one or the two that came that year, you know what I mean? But the idea is, you do what you're called to do, you don't do it for the result. We're looking for the result, but obedience is the reward. Yes. Do what you're supposed to do. And so I'm really excited that, you know, we've tried to have a Baltic vision, Latvia, Lithuania, and Estonia. Been working in Estonia for almost 20 years. We've made really good friends with the guys in Lithuania, in contact with them, encouraging them. We have the first ever Vineyard conference slated for Lithuania. And then we would hope when we take the group that's coming from the church in June, which is our hope to do, bring these guys back home in July, that they'll be there by then and we can go to Latvia and connect with them. It's going to take several wondrous acts of God to get this whole team in Latvia, because you have people coming with visas from different countries. Interesting. So pray for these guys so that all of those things that could happen when we're not in a pandemic viral situation have to be overcome, plus that has to be overcome for us to be able to get in there. And so, but the issue is, we'll get there when we're supposed to get there. Yeah. But I think we can hasten it, you know? Yeah. And so one of the things that, in the verse that he used, that, because I used this yesterday, the Bible says, take up your cross and follow him. Where did Isaiah 53 come from? Where it says that by his stripes we are healed. That's on the cross. So I'm going to tell you, we call Harmony a healing place, and it's because on the cross he defeated sin and sickness both. Yeah. Am I not right? Yes. So part of what we do and what we believe here is that taking that cross up is believing that healing for the sake of evangelism is part of what we're supposed to do. And what he did that allows us to get our sin forgiven also is what he did to allow us to get healed inside and out, and to give that away. And we want to be really effective in evangelism, and we think that God healing people is one of the ways that people's hearts get turned to the Lord. And so when you pray for them, I want you to pray that over them. I want to see that happen, where lost people that don't know the Lord, get healed, and then want to meet the God that healed them. That's a very powerful tool. And that's not happening there. I can tell you that is not happening there. We've prayed that in Estonia, Lithuania, the same way, but I'm telling you, this is a way to support what they're doing, because effective evangelism is the kind Jesus did, and he didn't leave out the signs, the miracles, and the wonders. Are you with me? Why don't we stand together? I'll pray over us. If you can stand, let's do that. Lord, thank you for Kazan and Clarine and the whole family and the whole team. And Lord, thank you for the chance to partner. And I pray that you would just overwhelm us with resources, spiritual, financial, personal, so that we can not only have teams, but they can be well-resourced and filled with everything that they need. Lord, I look out here today and see the people gathered, and there's some spots missing. I want to pray for everybody that's not here. Some by choice, because they're in that for risk or at risk situation. But Father, would you calm their hearts? Would you cause them to experience what we experienced here today? And Lord, and then I ask, Lord, for that experience for everybody in here. The scriptures say it clearly. Kazan quoted it for us. Unless you're born again, you cannot see or enter the kingdom of God. And we pray, Lord, that you would bring us in contact with people who have yet to be born again, and we will see with our own eyes people drawn into the kingdom and changed from the inside out. Hallelujah. Lord, we bless you, we love you, and we trust you. In Jesus' name, amen.